Justice Institute. PJI is a nonprofit law firm devoted to defending religious liberty, and we do that free of charge to the people who come to us, whether they're churches, whether they're individual people, street evangelists. We handle a variety of cases, whether they're, you know, sometimes they're land use cases, sometimes they're tax cases, sometimes they're criminal matters involving street preachers who've been arrested for violating noise or cited, violating noise ordinances. So it, sometimes we've handled employment law cases. So it's across the board that we do a lot of our work. Basically, we've been in the news a lot recently here in Oregon within the past month because we filed suit against Kate Brown for basically because she didn't follow proper statutory and constitutional procedure in issuing her executive orders with regard to the coronavirus. And as a result, churches have had their religious rights under both the Oregon and federal constitutions infringed upon. And so, you know, we sued for injunctive relief in the court, in the circuit court over in Baker County. Eventually we were, we won over there. You know, the court granted what's called the preliminary injunction, which basically said that we, it invalidated Kate Brown's orders until a trial could be held on whether her orders were valid. You know, she basically, within hours after the ruling was issued directly to the Oregon Supreme Court, there's a statute that allows her to do that. So it got kind of fast-tracked. And then the Oregon Supreme Court put what's called a stay in place, basically putting the judge's grant of the injunction on ice. Basically, that's just created a really compacted schedule involving many, many, many intense nights at my computer drafting briefs. I filed my last brief last Tuesday. But basically, our position is that, you know, when Governor Brown issued her original executive order, you know, the one declaring a state of emergency in response to the coronavirus, it's that she did it for a 60-day period. And under ORS 433.441, subsection 5, she only has up to 28 days to deal with an emergency of this type, a public health emergency. So she has 14 days at the outset. If she needs to, if she needs more time, she can, you know, extend it for another 14 days. If she needs more time beyond that, Article 10A of the Oregon Constitution lets her declare a catastrophic disaster. And, you know, with you know, a 3/5 majority in each house of the legislature, she can get, you know, I guess all the time she needs. But she basically gave herself 60 days at the outset. When that started to expire, she extended it another 60 days. The current order, you know, which I believe is ORS 2020 or 2024, will end on July 6th. And in between, she's issued several executive orders that directly affect churches and their ability to gather on Sundays or other days of the week for not only worship services, but for Bible studies, for youth group meetings, basically anything of that nature. Our approach is twofold. First of all, you know, that if Governor Brown has to infringe on individual liberty, you know, the ORS 433.441 and subsection 5 and Article 10A are both in place to limit the amount of time in which she can do it. She's got to do, if she needs more time, she can ask for it. But that's meant to be a check on her power to keep her from violating religious rights and other individual liberties, for that matter, in perpetuity or indefinitely. And then also that she is currently infringing on individual rights and freedoms. Because, you know, the governor has argued that, well, they have their right to worship has not been infringed upon because they can still worship from their homes. They can watch their churches live stream and that sort of thing. Well, No, if a church believes that it needs to gather together, as it says in Hebrews 10:25, then the church should be able to gather together. If I feel that, you know, I'm dishonoring God by worshiping from the comfort of my home rather than in the actual church building with my chosen body of believers, then I'm entitled to that. Or Article 1, Section 2 of the Oregon Constitution flat out says that all people in the state of Oregon shall be secure in the right to worship a God, to worship God in accordance with the dictates of their conscience. Secure means free of fear of government persecution. Okay, the government doesn't get to dictate the terms on which people worship. It doesn't get to dictate what's orthodox. They may have the option. If some churches don't want to open up, that's fine. They don't have to. That's their right. If people want to worship from the comfort of their homes, that's their right. But if they do want to meet, if somebody does want to leave the house and doesn't want to be arrested for it, that's their right. And so basically right now we're waiting on the Supreme Court to render a decision. The fact that they've been taking their time since last Tuesday it doesn't bother me necessarily. I mean, I kind of wish the suspense would end as much as everybody else does, but you know, at the very least it says they're wrestling with this, that they're at least considering our position and giving it, they're not giving it short shrift and just basically saying, you know, Kate Brown's right, we're moving on. It seems to me that they're at least trying to get it right. And my hope is that we only need four justices on the Supreme Court, on the Oregon Supreme Court, to side with us. And my hope is that we can get those four.
Ray, I've got a question for you. There was a recent California ruling based mm-hmm. upon another church's challenge. Can you tell us about that and what that impact might be on ours?
Yes, that case is called South Bay United Pentecostal Church v. Newsom. It was a case out of the San Diego area. It went to the Ninth Circuit. Basically, they challenged Governor Newsom's restrictions on on the size of church gatherings. And both at the Ninth Circuit and before the federal Supreme Court, the highest court in the nation, they lost by the narrowest of margins. In the Ninth Circuit, it was 2-1. At the Supreme Court level, it was 5-4. And that was with a conservative majority. So basically, Chief Justice Roberts sided with the four liberal justices and basically said that, in a situation like with the coronavirus, states need to be given wide latitude. And so basically that was kind of a, it did seem like kind of a death knell for our case, at least at the outset. I mean, it certainly seemed like it made the odds of victory a little bit longer at the very least. But at the same time, you know, Justice Roberts acknowledged that a governor may exceed the bounds of her powers. And that's what Governor Brown has done here. There are restrictions placed on her powers, or at least time limits. And basically, and if she needs more time, she can get it. There are procedures that she can follow. And she has ignored those procedures entirely. She has basically turned to a particular provision of the Oregon Revised Statutes. That would be Chapter 401, Sections 168 through, I think, 204. And she's basically used that as a way to bypass, you know, the time restrictions and whatever else. And our position is no, she doesn't get to do that. If she doesn't fall, if Governor Brown, under the circumstances presented in this case, doesn't follow procedures prescribed in the Oregon Revised Statutes and in the Oregon Constitution, no governor ever will. And so, you know, because she's exceeded this, you know, the limits placed on her authority, I think the only real remedy for that is to have her orders deemed orders invalidated. So I do think I think the odds made it a little bit longer, but I addressed both of those cases in our brief and basically said that even with those rulings, there still needs to be, there still need to be limits on her power, and there still needs to be, she cannot infringe on religious freedom more than necessary, because our jurisprudence overwhelmingly indicates that, you know, infringements on religious freedom need to be narrowly tailored, and hers are by no means narrowly tailored.
So what do you mean by infringements? The First Amendment is pretty clear. Where does she get the right to do more than just advise churches? Hey, I strongly encourage you to avoid meeting because of the danger of this coronavirus. Where does she get that right to actually come in and say, you cannot meet, and if you do meet, you can only meet in groups of this size for this period of time?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly not in the U.S. Constitution. It's not listed there, and I don't think it's in the Oregon Constitution either. There is a U.S. Supreme Court case called Jacobson v. Massachusetts, which basically said that if a state is facing, you know, a major public health crisis, you know, in that case, I believe it was a smallpox epidemic, then they may have to infringe on liberty. And, you know, but even in that case, they made clear that they cannot infringe on liberty more than is necessary to deal with the emergency. Any infringement can't be broader than is necessary. It's got to be limited in scope. It's got to be limited in duration. And here it is not limited in, it's definitely not limited in duration, because the orders that involve that infringe on, you know, gathering sizes and other things, basically they say that they will be in effect until the governor decides to terminate them. To put it bluntly, you can go back to church when Governor Brown says you can. That's basically the message that her orders sent. And she's also flat out told churches that, you know, she's not going to let them open up and reopen entirely until there's a vaccine in place. Well, there may never be a vaccine. A vaccine could take years to find. And just the longer this goes on, the longer that, you know, churches are restricted in their ability to exercise their rights to meet, to assemble, and to worship together, and to practice in accordance with the dictates of their faith, you know, the less likely a court is to deem her actions constitutional. You know, it may, you know, if we go all the way back to the COVID-19, the beginning of this pandemic, yeah, maybe at the beginning, it might have been, you know, for about a month or so. People might not have been happy about it, but I think maybe that would have been livable. But, you know, for her to just do it, just to keep doing it in perpetuity, to, you know, infringe on churches' ability to meet, to prohibit their ability to sing, worship songs, to put restrictions on communion, or on laying hand, or any sort of physical contact, whether it be a handshake or a hug or whatever, all of those things, you know, do have implications